Small Town, written by Lamentables and read by Lutzula. This story is a crossover between Will Be Wonderful and Men with Brooms. When you're growing up in a small town, you know you'll grow down in a small town. There's only one good use for a small town. You hate it, and you know you'll have to leave. Quote from Lou Reed and John Cale. Hey, McDonald. Cutter caught the door as McDonald slammed out of the mostly empty canteen. He watched McDonald plunge headlong across the yard, heedless of puddles and crates of discarded equipment. Wait up. McDonald paused at the fence and hooked his fingers through the mesh, head hanging. Cutter strode after him, beer bottle still dangling loosely in his fingers. They stood in silence for a while as Cutter drained the rest of the bottle. He didn't offer to share. He'd never seen McDonald drink, and in a place like this, any man who didn't drink had to have good reason. You know, while I do admire your dedication to speaking the truth, I have to tell you that you're not winning any friends in the Canadian oil industry, McDonald. Yeah, well, McDonald shrugged. Still not looking up. Why? Why'd you have to tell them it was you who made the complaint about Morley? Cutter figured the guy for a loner, but this could make his life really tough. You can't let a drunk drive a 150-ton haul truck, and he's a mean drunk, too. I didn't ask why you reported him. I asked why you blabbed about it. Learn to keep your mouth shut, McDonald. Cutter dug out a couple of cigarettes and handed one over. Cutter looked at the stats again and sighed. The yield was down for the third week in a row, which meant the writing was pretty much on the wall for this project. If he couldn't pull something out of his ass in the next month, he'd better figure out which country he wanted to not see much of next. Somewhere with sun would be good. Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. Though he'd be competing with half the engineers in the industry, the way OPEC was cutting back production. He rubbed at his eyes and decided to go check on the night shift over at the separation cells, looking for inspiration. He stopped round the back of the plant, intending to have a quiet smoke. McDonald. Walter McDonald. That new guy. Skinny. Don't say so much. Maritimer. Cutter didn't recognize the voice, but he sure as hell recognized the tone, and he didn't like it. Yeah, I know him. It's him that got Morley fired? This voice Cutter did know. Jardine was behind every kind of trouble that went down at the site. He did the stirring and the setting up, but he was never there when the beatings happened or the goods got stolen. It's him. Told Pasternak he'd done it. Heard he's a faggot, too. Shit. McDonald's life could turn out even tougher than Cutter first feared. Who told you that? Johnny in payroll. Said that's how come McDonald ended up here. Sent packing when his pop caught him going down on a guy. McDonald had a beating coming. Jardine was going to make sure of it. Cutter wasn't sure why it mattered so much to him. But he had to find a way to help the guy. Figures. A faggot and a snitch. Probably hoping to get a race by sucking some management dick. Well, he won't be sucking much after Morley and the boys have finished with him. Cutter strode noisily around the corner. Hey, fellas. Either of you got a light? I want a word. McDonald's voice was soft as he slid his tray onto the table and sat down across from Cutter. Why do you do it? Couldn't help myself. Triumph of hope over experience. Cutter looked down at his plate. One day they might put actual meat in the food, and I don't want to miss it. Jerk. McDonald picked up his spoon, twirling it between his fingers. Why do you tell Jardine and Butler that you reported Morley?
I did report Morley, Cutter deadpanned.
Why? He's a drunk. A drunk driving a 150-ton haul truck round an oil sands extraction site. He sniffed dubiously at a forkful of stew. Too many lives at risk, not to mention the potential property damage. MacDonald tapped the spoon impatiently on the edge of the table. Why did you tell them? Cutter shrugged. You're new, inexperienced. Thought I'd handle it for you. He shoveled up more of his dinner. Not bad, actually, the stew. MacDonald, come with me. Butler and the other guys backed off, but made little attempt to conceal what was going on. MacDonald stood where he'd been pinned against the massive wheel of a haul truck and raised an eyebrow. Sorry, gentlemen. I hope it won't inconvenience you, but there's an urgent repair job needs doing. Cutter strode off in the direction of his office, trying for exactly the right measure of arrogant swagger, not daring to check that MacDonald was following. He carried on past the weathered prefab that housed his office, toward the tailings ponds at the edge of the site, not pausing until they were well out of sight of the plant. Smoke, Walter? Duck. MacDonald spoke for the first time. My friends call me Duck. Smoke, Duck? Cutter held out the packet. My friends call me Cutter. Everyone calls me Cutter these days. My mother was the only one who called me Chris. They smoked in silence, watching a skein of geese fly over the site. Cutter hadn't thought beyond getting Duck away from the immediate danger, and he couldn't work out what came next. Your mother, she died? Duck squatted and pushed his cigarette stub into the gray earth. Cutter nodded as Duck squinted up at him. That when you came here? No, I was doing this already. Needed a job that got me away from my dad. Wanted something with travel opportunities. Sick of the small town thing. He surprised himself with the mention of his father. It certainly wasn't part of his standard response. Not much different here. Everybody knows your business. Nowhere to hide. Duck straightened up again, shoving his hands in his back pockets. Cutter dug his heel into the oily mud, twisting it, watching the way it curled and clung to his boots. What about you? What are you running from? Duck shook his head. Not running. Cutter shot him a skeptical look. Just drifting. My dad died when I was a kid. I don't think anyone was sorry about that. He was okay when he was sober, but so long as there was money, he was drunk. He paused to light another cigarette. My mum was worn out by the time he died. Too many crappy jobs and night shifts. So there's just me. Nobody to run from. Duck's voice tailed off, and he shrugged. Cutter stared down at his hands, rubbing at an old scar, not interrupting. Running from the island, maybe, Duck continued. Looking for some place where I fit in. Cutter laughed. What the fuck made you think you'd fit here? Duck smiled ruefully. I'm here for the money. 6 months working and keeping my mouth shut, and I'll have enough to get to the next place. And you're doing such an excellent job of keeping your mouth shut. Cutter caught himself staring at Duck's mouth and looked away quickly. Better be getting back before someone comes looking for you. So, why do you need to run away from your dad? Cutter looked up from the production reports and returned Duck's smile, pleased to see him and pleased to see the coffee he was offering. I was just... Christ, I didn't realize it was so late. He tried to ignore the flush of warmth to his face. Fuck, I really need a beer. But coffee's good, thanks. He ran a hand through his hair, feeling suddenly adrift. Is he a drunk, your father? Duck went on. Cutter scrabbled for the familiar, anchored himself with his feelings for his father. No, nothing like that. He's just an immature, commitment-phobic, controlling, emotionally retarded pain in the ass. And every minute I'm with him, I'm terrified that I'm just like him. Or if I'm not, I will be. Duck smiled. I don't think so. You don't know me. Cutter was a scientist, always wary of confusing correlation and causation. He re-examined the evidence and concluded, again, that Duck's smile was to blame for the blushing and for the outbreak of butterflies in his stomach. "I know you a little." Duck walked over to the door, closed and locked it, then turned and gave Cutter a considering look. Cutter stared back, poised between caution and desire. In the end, it was Duck's hand that made up his mind. He'd watched Duck's hands busy with cigarettes, hooked in a mesh fence, but seeing that hand steady, curled around the doorknob, made him yearn to be touched. He clicked on the small desk lamp, walked over to where Duck waited, and flicked off the buzzing fluorescent light. "Yeah, I know you a little." Duck tilted Cutter's chin and then leaned forward to kiss him softly. "You're not doing this to pay me back?" Cutter pulled back, suddenly cursed with guilt. Duck looked down at himself. "Not obligation, I'm feeling." He leaned in for another kiss, still gentle, still questioning. Cutter pushed back in response, his tongue against Duck's lips, his hands reaching for Duck's hips. Duck held Cutter's face steady while his body pushed forward, dizzying Cutter with a contact made and the possibilities Will held. "Still want me to keep my mouth shut?" Duck whispered. Cutter swallowed. "No, that wasn't what I had in mind." He closed his eyes and breathed deeply as Duck rolled his hips. "God, please." Duck grinned and kissed him harder, opening his mouth, letting Cutter push in. He hung on to Cutter's shoulders, biting at his neck and jaw as Cutter unzipped their pants and fumbled his hand around them both. Duck added his long fingers to complete the grip, and together they pulled and twisted until they both came, urgently, messily. Duck ignored the rain and leaned on the fence next to Cutter, stealing the half-smoked cigarette from between his fingers. "I'm leaving at the end of the month. Earned enough to get me to the next place." "Know where that is yet?" Cutter would miss Duck, but he'd be moving on soon as well. He was hopeful about a couple of the job applications he'd sent off last week. "Yeah." Duck flicked the butt into a puddle. "I'm going home. I think that's where I don't fit the best." The end. I'm Lutzula, and thank you for listening. This has been a reading of Small Town by Lamentables. You can find the rest of the author's stories at lamentables.livejournal.com.